With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Initiate Orphans Trailer.
Welcome to The Orphans.
It's Baz Gilroy.
Hello. I am Geometrically Fabricated and Functional Reasoning Unit, but you can call me Jeffrey.
Do you know what they're going to do to me?
That's what I am to them out there. Just a spill on the floor that needs wiping up, aren't I?
But I will not stay here and witness your stupidity.
You do nothing but pretend. You don't care about me.
Get up. He's going to find us if we don't move.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans. Facility. Out now.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. It contains content that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at nerdyshow.com. All right, we are back. It is episode 39 of RPG From Scratch, our design-only podcast, with probably some future playtests outside of Leyliners, I think. Today, I kind of want to get into the philosophical question of what comes next for our game, because we've gotten through five steps of all of our paths, and looking at steps 6 through 10, there's a lot of places it could go, but what direction should each path take, and what's the ending image if we had to pick one for each path? I feel like death, we've got a pretty good handle on it because we know where it goes for, you know, creating undead monsters that you can control. I mean, with addition of extra AoE damage and, you know, things like that. But what's everyone else look like?
Yeah, because like marksman, you're just better at shooting arrows.
Yeah.
Oh, I straight up, when I think of like end game marksman, I am thinking of Green Arrow. Like a borderline superhero.
Oh, no, for sure. I think anybody who gets to step 10 should be world beater. You know what I mean? Like not level 20 in Dungeons & Dragons, not because I think, you know, level 9 magic in Dungeons & Dragons throws all rules out the window.
Oh, it's reality breaking.
Yeah.
On purpose. That's its job.
Like you have to kill a Tarrasque and then wish it to stay dead. You know, but we can have those rituals.
Yeah.
We can have stuff like that in our game, but not path dependent. So let's pick an image and see if we can create an archetype for the top level of each.
I would say fire would be more control.
Interesting.
What?
Because at a certain point, you can just make a bigger and bigger fire. Your skill set would be controlling that, not just making anyone can make a big ass fire. And then you have a fire. Now what? The whole city's on fire.
Do we want all of these paths to get their elemental, basically? Because I mean, you think death, obviously you create undead monsters. Those are basically death elementals. You know, ice could have ice golems, and like, and fire could have fire elementals, but is that the direction that we want to go with these paths?
Would your orbs gain sentience at
no
a certain
it,
point?
It feels I think that feels weird for fire. That almost makes more sense for ice for some reason, because it seems defensive, controlling.
I agree.
Fire, I almost think fire isn't about control. I mean, if it's about being,
I just think
more
the,
concentrated.
That's
more,
what I mean.
Yeah.
What's the end point of dropping a star on someone? If you're in a wooden city, okay, you nuke the city that you're standing in. The bad guy's dead, but so is everything else.
Well, there's interesting abilities we can give them. Like we gave them what the torch blade and stuff like that, where you can.
That's
you can
what I mean.
Them.
But like your control, I think fire is more about controlling fire than just building a bigger fire.
Well, what if? Could we do both?
Yeah,
I think we should.
Could we be like, you create a volcano?
Uncle Iroh. That's who I see.
I need to watch Avatar, apparently.
he's my favorite character.
But you could create a volcano, or you could... Like what's the image of our final Fire Mage? Like,
I would say you can create a volcano inside the brain of your enemy.
Well, like, I'm thinking of somebody standing on top of an erupting volcano with clothes made of fire, with eyes that are burning with fire, shooting laser beams out of each finger guns.
I like
which
that.
Which is ideal. You want that in your back pocket, but how does that solve
your problem? I don't know about, like, Volcano is so big, though.
Yeah.
That is D&D big to me.
Sure,
I almost don't want it to be like...
What if it's a temporary volcano?
Even then. But yeah. I like the idea of someone who has become the fire. They are wreathed in flame.
Like flaming form.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Because the whole world is a volcano, right?
Yeah, on the inside, yeah.
At a certain depth, there's magma. You should just be able to...
That's a cool idea. Yeah. Being able to just pull it up from the ground in
anywhere
one spot.
You are, there's magma.
Yeah. What if it's... I do like, maybe you become the fire elemental.
I like that.
That's a cool...
I like that.
Like an aspect?
Yeah, like you become the avatar of heat. You know, that could be fun.
Texas Pete?
Yeah, it's avatar of heat. That'd be a good new advertising campaign for them.
Yeah, I like that. That's the image I have.
He's
now.
Putting on a sandwich. Become the avatar of heat. That's just my theory for fire. Like, yes, fire is going to get bigger, and that's amazing power to have, but that doesn't solve a problem. Like an X-Men, you have firepower, you can't be a good guy,
right?
Because what problem do you solve with fire that doesn't make a bigger problem?
Anything with a supervillain.
Yeah,
but then you're still in a city.
Well, if there's no
that, you've started a fire
in a world without supervillains, you're just a terrorist.
Yeah.
you're
because you could try to do good with fire.
Yeah,
but what,
you could burn down a Brookie fighting ring.
Okay, so I like the final image where you just become like the avatar of flame, basically.
Yes.
Without going into specific powers, just that ending image of you, like, on top of a volcano, yanking magma out of the earth as a fire elemental, you know, is pretty cool. Should things like lightning be involved?
I feel like a different thing.
That's a different thing? Like,
yeah.
Like, that would be Path of Storms or something, right?
Yeah, because that's dust.
Dust?
Yeah, lightning is just electricity arcing from dust to something else.
Because it's just plasma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Superheated plasma. But it'd be more thematic in somebody who deals with storms than fire.
Which definitely.
Yeah. You know what I'd like? More bombs. And I mean bombs in the just the explosion sense. Like a
lightning ball? Ball lightning?
No. Like so we already had them go Nova. Like they have a countdown timer one where they can explode and deal a lot of damage. But stuff like that where maybe delayed explosions could be something that we could throw in there.
You imagine you become the level 10, step 10, you become the Avatar of Storms, right?
Mm. Are you talking for Path of the Storm?
Path of the Storm.
Okay.
You become the Avatar of Storm. Then you're instantly the enemy of one of our established religions.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they hate storms so much.
Yep. Yeah, you'd have to keep that shit secret.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's on theme, you know?
Or,
like,
or
a lot of things that'll be established enemies of religions.
Yeah. Well, imagine you're a storm mage and you're a skimmer.
Yeah, you just can't tell anybody.
You could keep the storms away and then you don't tell other people how. So then, okay, so I feel like fire is pretty simple. I just, like, the end game of fire, when we think of level 20 wizard, the archetype of that, it just seems very muted by comparison. Like, you're a living hand grenade, basically. But I think there is a level of that where we can get that ridiculous to make it worthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
just don't summon 100 red dragons.
Right. So let's think about ice, then. I do kind of like the idea of ice having an ice golem, like we talked about, but how about just one?
And it's a big one.
And it's good. It's really good. Maybe it levels up as you do. Maybe much like death can go wide or go...
Maybe like a golem, maybe step, whatever, you get your golem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay attention to what it's doing. But as it goes on, level step by step, you can give it more autonomy.
Maybe.
And I would definitely be, I think, it, rather the death is you know, building it out of your fallen, slain enemies.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it gets its own powers.
Yeah. I like the idea that the ice golem, one, I like the idea of it being a little more customizable, like the heraldry from Citadel, and that it's a manifestation of your connection to ice, not the other way around.
Cool. Okay, so I like that for ice, is that we're going in the golem direction. In part, but I think the remainder, the control aspect of what we haven't done yet, are things like shackling creatures temporarily. We could create things that tether them with ice chains and creating more walls. You know, we've got,
I like walls.
I do too. We have one, the glacial thing, where it creates a wall as you move. But we could do something more like May from Overwatch,
or even just like
ooh.
Like ice luges, so you could move creatures occasionally.
Like Iceman from the X-Men?
Yeah.
That could be fun.
I was thinking like just rain of icicles.
Yeah. Like you Storm know? From yeah. X-Men. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Adding the golem to that.
So solidifies the image.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now if you're going to, you could
like
choose
Storm
to...
is a villain, so like more...
She's a villain?
Yeah. How is she allowed just like any area that's not having rain? How does she just not go there and give them rain?
Oh, she does.
Does she?
Yeah, okay. She does
yeah,
all the time.
But it's also a thing of like, she can only be in one place, and if she moves the rain, she has to move the rain.
Yeah, but like Magneto, what's he going to kill? A couple thousand people? Starvation is killing
I think he
more.
Might have killed multiple Way. Millions of people multiple times.
I agree with him, but, you know, let him do his thing.
So, yeah, so you would kind of, because you get the abilities to control or to deal damage as ice, how you customize your golem...
Reflects that.
Right, or it might be the opposite of that.
To pair
if
up.
If you want to just be slinging ice lances and dealing damage, your golem would just be acting as a wall, you know, yeah. and, like, keeping things away from you. Whereas if you want to... shackle people and play control, your golem is going to be laying out damage.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be fun. That could be a cool, like, you know, two character thing. How about death? Now we've got death for, we've got the undead portion of it.
Uh-huh.
Aside from that, what about things that link damage? Like, for instance, you could put something on yourself and then you could find reliable ways to damage yourself that gets amplified to enemies around you.
That could be interesting.
And then you hopefully rely on somebody to heal you if you haven't taken Path of Radiance or something else yourself.
Or more, even more vampiric effects.
Oh, that's true. Stealing life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think part of death should be, and I think the flipped coin of this needs to be in Radiance, where a little bit more of a transcendental ability would be cool. Stuff similar to like reveal weakness or where you can start to see how things will die.
Well, we have a couple of those right now. Like, we have a daily that anything with Banes on it, you give them a vision of their death, and it hurts them. But I think Banes that give you some control ability as well. Like a curse you put on a creature that just slows it down.
Yeah.
Because it's life sucks. I mean, we did kind of that where it gains a condition, you know, but you don't get to pick the condition, it rolls for it.
Like a goth wizard that just shoots depression?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of ways for you to, like, rotate Banes and stuff like that.
And proliferate them.
Yeah. So I think that's appropriate, but...
I like that, like, a zone of depression where you walk... If you're in that zone, you can't think about
like
what's going on.
Yeah. You practice avoidance behaviors. You don't sleep good.
Stop talking about my life.
I just think it would be a cool zone of, like, all of a sudden they're just morose and that's all they can think about.
Also, just the idea of, like... mind affecting effects, because we don't have any of those. We have a couple of those, but not real ones, but like ones where it's like we could go down the thing where it makes like you're surrounded by ghosts or something or
yeah,
cool. I mean, I was thinking about madness, but I don't think death does madness.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's just,
I mean,
like,
it can inspire madness, but through again, it's through visions of things own death. It's their ability to deal with that
death of their ancestors or something.
Yeah. Like, maybe you could...
like your mother sucks dicks in hell kind of stuff.
Right. Maybe like hands could come up from the ground and grab at them and stuff like that. You know, like they're ghostly hands. They don't persist, but things like that could work. I don't know. It just doesn't... What's the ending image? Because like the ending
farrier
image is,
over the river Styx.
Charon? Right?
Yeah.
Charon? Is that
Charon?
I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
I have no either, because it's Greek.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Greek to me.
Yeah.
Or Latin.
That's good. The farrier over the river Styx is good, but there's a fairness to it that I think death doesn't have, right? Like, like death should just be like, no, you're all gonna die. So
but isn't that the fairness?
Well, plague doctor?
The ultimate fairness?
Yeah, we'll think like an army of flesh monsters, or one big one, or the two rivals at the, you know, at the end, right? Flanked by these two rivals. Do we think Lich? You know, is that...
I don't want to think Lich.
But I mean, not in the sense that this creature is an undead. Or maybe it...
I don't like that.
Maybe you could take the undead aspects, and then you get the big bonus of, like, not having to eat anymore, that kind of thing. Or you could just be...
Like, I don't mind the idea of there being able to become undead. I don't like the idea that that's just the end of a path. It's just, that's it.
Well, no, what if you think of...
What about a vampiric... Where you could just create something that takes the damage for you.
That's cool, too. But I'm thinking, like, just the image. Like, well, picture the most powerful lich you can think of.
Uh-huh.
Remove the fact that they're undead.
Okay.
And what they're able to do is, like, the super wizard of death, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So as long as we keep, like, the end goal in mind there, we should be able to, like, ramp up all the stuff.
What if it's, like, a healer? Like, you control death, so you just keep it away from the things you like.
No, yeah. I think death
the
is
complete
your,
opposite.
Death is that. Your best friend.
I think you just make death.
Yeah.
I'm just for the two aspects. You could have where you are full in on the death, or you're just like, yeah, death is a thing, and we're just not going to deal with that.
Being able to preserve bodies so that they don't, like against decay, so that they can be resurrected by somebody with radiance would be cool.
And an interesting interaction.
Yeah. Like, if someone was down and they're doing their, you know, their saves or whatever, you just put your hand on them.
Yeah. And just, you're dead now.
Stop the clock, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you're definitely dead now, but you won't rot while we do this. We just stop you at this stage of death. Okay, then let's do, or actually should just be about you, right? So, like, you get knocked down.
I was just thinking the ultimate expression of that.
Right, I was just thinking, like, the ultimate expression is somebody takes your head off, and you're like, okay, well, we can just put his head back on as long as we do it soon enough.
And it's fine. And
the
it's
just, ultimate campaign of where your friends are just trying to get you to the healer, and you're talking to them on their shoulder.
Agnes is ashes.
Yeah. But Agnes was talking to us the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And she was a box of ashes.
Mm-hmm. The hat.
Okay. So that's death. Now, champion, we've got an image for champion. It's just
Conan the Barbarian.
Interesting. I wouldn't have said that.
Really?
Yeah. I would have said, well, I guess King Conan.
Yeah.
If you just go King Conan, yeah, that's pretty close to it. Just any mythical hero. Gilgamesh.
A whirling dervish of pain.
Just the ultimate warrior that you wouldn't want.
Yeah.
The ultimate warrior. That's the
done.
Intelligent, crafty, violent.
And a total showboat as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
In zealotry, we can kind of dip into the imagery of clerics and paladins traditionally, where they're like the ascendant. You know what I mean? They grow wings. They fire lances down from the sky.
They're juggling five or six things going on at one time.
Mm-hmm.
They bless their weapons. They bless the weapons of their... I think they should... Because right now they get a lot of bonuses to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking stuff more like auras, anthems.
Yeah.
And not even better versions of the thing that they have. Just they get to start being beacons.
Yeah, they inspire just enormous... superhero level ability in everybody around them.
Yeah.
And they are also an avatar of it as well.
So the womb, but like times a lot.
The womb?
The womb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that one's pretty easy. Radiance, just you're a being of pure light. You know, you control the light. You shoot out laser beams. You're a prism.
Death flees before you.
Well, not even, because it's not, radiance isn't even path of life, right?
Yeah.
Like it is, it's just light, cleansing and burning.
Yeah,
like
light,
you're the purest being. Right?
Light
like,
is terrible for you. Light is...
It's radiation.
Yeah, just roasting people with light.
Yeah, I like that. What's the... There's a term for...
Sunburn, I think.
there's a kind of creature in fiction that does... Well, there's probably a couple kinds. But yeah, just a being of pure light, of radiant power.
Would that give you spectrum abilities, like... Just stepping outside of the visible spectrum.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, we've already got Roy G. Blitz, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, we do. Oh, God, it's such a good name.
It's good because it's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, that one's easy. Let's do Citadel. You're just a bulwark, right? I mean, you...
I see a walking fortress.
Yeah, somebody who is in every vanguard.
I would like... There is a D&D quote that I love, which is there's a special class called Dwarven Defender that's only for dwarves.
Yeah.
And one of the taglines is from an elf, and he's like, if I have to choose between a 10-foot tall, 1-foot thick wall... or a line of Dwarven Defenders, I pick the Dwarven Defenders because the Dwarven Defenders march forward.
Yeah. I like the the image of... But who's the ultimate expression of the... Well, it's like Captain America, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you just, forward. Yeah.
Just move forward. You got your shield. You protect everybody.
On your left.
Yep.
To the point where, like, enemies shouldn't even be able to focus on anything else.
Yeah. No, you should be everybody's primary problem. Like, you're not... killing everybody, but you're punishing.
You just slog forward. Mm-hmm.
You're really a punishment machine, right? Like you just get up there and you stand there, and then anything they do, you exploit.
Yeah, if they take the time to do something that's not you, it's a fuck up.
They'll regret it.
But also, you're a problem.
Like, yeah.
Getting past you is a big problem.
You're the queen on the chessboard.
Yes. So then command. I feel like this is the easiest one. You're just a general.
Yeah.
I mean, this, just think of a great general. Mm-hmm. That's you. You're leading armies of troops.
Shikamaru.
Who's the best general?
Yeah. Ever?
Ender?
Probably Subutai.
I know my favorite naval commander, Admiral Yi.
We had to come up with things to give to fire, death, and ice. I don't think we need to think of what direction champion goes.
No.
And what direction citadel goes. We talked about maybe giving them a squire.
I like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what it would give them, I don't think would be worth any investment. It would just be somebody else they have to protect, which is not really that useful. But just being better and better at punishing, I think maybe we should focus on that. Cause
they're already sturdy.
They're
already very sturdy.
And they're going to get weapons and armor that makes them sturdier and sturdier and sturdier. As they level up, they get more HP faster than anybody else. And they're the highest armored. They're tough to hurt, so now we just need to give them more ways to punish enemies, just to lock people down.
I just even like the idea of, even if you withdraw in front of them, mm-hmm. it's a problem. Like, you can't get in their face without them taking a shot at you.
Yeah, things that, like, override rules for opportunity attacks, stuff like that. For command, this will be tough.
I was thinking, what if you can command an enemy?
Command is weird, because command is going to scale... with your party already a lot. So I think minor passive bonuses would be good. I think a couple of things that would allow you and an ally to do something at the same time. So you feel a little more active in it. So, you know, you're not Citadel, you're not champion, you're not the greatest fighter of all time, mm-hmm. but you should feel like a good fighter by step 10. You should feel like a very capable combatant, but that's not your job.
So I think things that like allow you to, allow the whole party to participate into something you're doing on your turn.
Yeah. Yes.
Those are good. Like, oh, we're all going to charge. We're all going to do this. We're all going to do that. Things like that would be good.
We're all going to disengage. We're all going to, you know, this is a flanking maneuver. This is...
I was thinking, like, voice of command, that you're so, like, it would definitely be a daily to where you could, like, point to the end and be like, you would draw 5 spaces. Like...
Yeah, things that...
Like, you're just so...
Things that affect enemies would be good.
You're so commanding that they listen without thinking.
I mean, but I go to the ultimate end image, and it's them leading an army, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to give them extra?
No. I don't see leading an army. I see leading a strike force. I see Cyclops.
Sure. But maybe something where NPCs get bonuses.
Ooh, I like that.
If you do that. Because you'll go into a village, and they need to defend against something, and you're going to pull the 7 samurai, like, all right, you get on this, the 3 of you go here, we're going to do this, and maybe just like...
Is that like the 3 Amigos?
Yes, okay. Just like the...
It's very similar.
Identical to the 3 Amigos.
There's an invisible man in 7 Samurai, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
There's a lot of them.
It's the effect. Whole shots full of them all the time.
Yeah, so maybe something where if you have NPCs in your group, well, you probably already have the ability to buff them because they're allies.
Yeah.
Hmm. So maybe things focusing around preparedness, like assumed preparedness, because we have that one where it's
Batman them.
Yeah, but just the idea that like you whip this answer out to a problem that's happened, and to you it's just an ability you can do, but the flavor is that.
You have a playbook.
You've prepared this, yeah. Okay. I like that. And then what else are we
definitely missing? Like buffs to like Esmond take the shot with a plus 10 to
yeah,
hit.
Yeah, but also thing, I definitely like the way that even the reactions work of, oh, this thing happened that in game is a feint after the fact because he changes the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm. It's like mental gun kata.
Yeah. There's
every situation has already happened.
So we go to Scoundrel. The only fiction I've ever read that had an image that I think is like, you know, mm-hmm. Step 10 Scoundrel is this book series called The Way of Shadows. Uh-huh. And there's a character named Durzo Blint who's called a wet boy, which is like a super assassin, basically. Is a master alchemist of poisons, master of every weapon in terms of one-on-one fighting. Is just fast, super smart, and sneaky. It's really hard to get better than that. Maybe just better. We gave him better poisons. We've, you know, more traps.
I think they're, just like Champion, they are already what they're going to be, only harder.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they need... They are already getting more tools in their toolbox. That's what they do every level.
Yeah.
Or every step. That's what Champion is doing, too. We just do that harder. It feels good already. Like, I think that's already pretty set.
Yeah, that one's easy, because the archetype of the rogue, the scoundrel, the thief, those things are all very well established. Maybe we could give them the ability to steal things off people.
Ooh.
That could be fun.
Or to steal them on people.
Planting bombs in their pockets. That could be cool.
Or evidence.
Yeah. So last one, which is the first one we brought up, was marksman.
Yeah.
What is the image of the final marksman?
I think it's weird, but I almost think that the image
Yondu?
Is like,
to a point. Yondu, it's pretty close.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking is that the characters that I think of when I think of a master marksman, how it should feel in this game, are from like modern shooter action films. I don't see Robin Hood or Legolas as our mm-hmm. end level marksman. I think of like,
well, there's the two marksmen.
Well, there's if we go to,
I think of like
Max's,
John Wick.
If we go to Max's favorite Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that serves the purpose. You know, firing triple arrows. You know, curving them, that kind of thing.
As a long shotter, yeah.
Yeah, and then John Wick is our assault.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know? Just do. We're like,
yeah.
It's such a good movie.
Just seeing someone hold a gun, right? You're like, yeah.
All right, I like those. So okay. I'm happy with all these images, and I think they'll serve us well moving forward, because I think like long shot and marksman need abilities that they're whichever one they picked augment in a unique way.
I think both of those need to feel, there should be a lot of overlay, there should be a lot of things that you count on a marksman to do, but they should feel very different playing them at the end.
Well, things like how a long shot guy would use something where you, let's say you can fire and then disengage your speed.
Uh-huh.
How a long shot marksman will use that would be very different than how a marksman, yes. mm-hmm. marksman will use that. Now, both want that.
Oh, very much so.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of fun ways for us to make both of those matter.
The utility spells be mm-hmm. dual purpose.
Yeah. I want to move on to, we talked a lot about stealth as a mechanic. And the more I did some self-simulations when I was like, okay, well, I want a stealth. Let me roll.
Stealth stimulation joke.
I roll and I get a 17. So that means I am a little bit better than well-hidden. Now the enemy has to roll to see something that's well-hidden. And he rolled a 19, so he does. That's fine, but it's actually when you're talking about multiple characters and the GM, and we have to remember all the different levels of how well that they stealthed and what the terms are, it actually makes it more complicated than just, does your stealth check beat this guy's awareness roll?
Okay.
So I think that one, just like grappling, is gonna have to be an opposed check.
All right.
Just because it saves time. And I think they made this change in 5th edition. I think we've been doing it this way for a while, but when we were playing 4th edition, because it's an easy thing to solve. When you need to see if the party is going to see somebody who's hidden, you just take the person with the best awareness, and the GM rolls their awareness against the stealth on their own.
Because generally, if a friend sees something, he goes, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
And then that way one roll happens, and instead of the GM just rolling a die and being like, why don't you make a stealth check?
Yeah.
Or why don't mm-hmm. you make an awareness check to see if you see something hidden? And they're like, well, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it.
And everyone has a chance of rolling a 20, and everyone, which actually the multiple rolls make it harder for that thing to stay hidden.
Yeah, which is true in reality, but not to the extent by which
that is represented.
Yeah, exactly. So just use the best person's score, have them roll if you want them to know that there's something going on, and or you roll it yourself and find out. Or if you want them to say, hey, who has the highest awareness, make an awareness check, and you have a set difficulty, so you're not rolling a die and they don't know how difficult the thing is to see.
Yeah.
Because it more matters that they're rolling than that you're rolling. And I'm trying to think of other things that this would go into, but so far, I mean, every other skill is so specific that it's just not opposed.
Yeah.
You know, making all the difficulties for the situations in which you take negatives, we've already controlled for those. We've written those down as examples, you know, separating them into difficulties of fives. And then your difficulty to stealth, you're taking a negative for how obvious you would be in the current environment. So if we just allow those to fly, to use as a guideline for the GM of what to dock the characters when they roll for those things, I think we're fine. I think it's relatively simple and representative. Did you guys have anything you wanted to talk about?
Not really, no. It's yeah, this is like, for the listeners, this is 2 days after New Year's.
Yeah, man.
We're all exhausted.
And it's been a rough December.
Yeah.
It's been a long December.
And there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last.
And Usher was terrible. Did you guys catch his performance?
No.
No.
New Orleans New Year's?
I was asleep by 11:45.
We stayed up and just happened to catch the New Orleans drop, and they're like, Usher's coming out. We're like, all right, we'll see. It was horrible. How do people go into those not practicing or anything?
I don't know. I think you just become so famous. You're like, yeah, people like it anyway. I'm drunk already. Who cares?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If the game we're making sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/RPGFS. $1 patrons get access to the cutting room floor, where all of the off-topic comedy that was cut out of episodes is curated for your enjoyment. $2 patrons get the updated character sheets that they can use to make their own characters in our system. $5 patrons get access to every rulebook we release as we update them. $10 patrons get to create custom NPCs for use in our actual play podcast, Leyliners. Also, if you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on Podchaser and Apple Podcasts. Every review helps. If you want to reach out to us with your gameplay ideas, please comment on our Patreon or tag us on Twitter. We are at @homebrewhombres. Thank you all again, and until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.